You've read that before, right? The Bible says a lot about money. Everybody say money.
Money.
Money. Yeah. It's one of those things that you can't live with because you seem to spend it so quickly, but you can't live without. Go try buying a car or some groceries. It's probably not going to work unless you've got money. And like I said, the Bible talks a lot about money. And one of the main ways it talks about money is it encourages us to give it away. And there are different ways in which we can give. Number one, and it's a big one, and that is the tithe. And tithe, of course, means a tenth. And so the Bible teaches that we are to bring 10% of our income into the storehouse. Now, in Old Testament times, that would have been the temple. In New Testament times, that really translates to a local congregation. And then the local congregation uses the tithe as it sees fit for ministry and everything that that means. It also speaks about giving offerings. Hence the reason why we say on Sunday mornings or even here Wednesday night, it's time to give our tithes and offerings. An offering is different than a tithe. It's above and beyond the tithe. And you see different types of offerings in the scriptures. For instance, you see a time where the church in Jerusalem was suffering through a pretty bad famine. And so Paul went around to some of the other churches in the Roman Empire and asked them if they would give an offering to the church in Jerusalem to help them out during their struggles. And sure enough, churches did that, and they were able to bless their brothers and sisters. We also see, and this is what we're going to focus on tonight, that we are to give to missions. In other words, we are to support our missionaries. And the reason we're jumping into this tonight is pretty simple. And that is because the last two Wednesdays, we did a very short series on a very short book of the Bible, 2 John. It was written by the Apostle John. And so what I decided to do was go right from 2 John into 3 John, which is just as short, if not shorter, and we're going to spend one evening on it, and that is this evening. And the focus of 3 John, interestingly enough, is missions. So, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 3 John. It comes right after 2 John, which comes after 1 John. Of course, you knew that. Written by the Apostle John. And we're going to read it all the way through. It's only one chapter. And then we'll come back and take a look at it verse by verse, if you will. Here's what it says. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Oh, do we have all the whole chapter? There we go. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. That's a great way to translate that. Malicious nonsense. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Let's go ahead and pray again. Lord, this is your word. And it's just as powerful and active and living today as it was when it was originally written. So, Lord, give us wisdom into your word. Give us wisdom into your heart. Teach us once again, remind us once again of the importance of giving in all aspects of life, but tonight especially to our missionaries. And Father, we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in the introduction or the greeting of this letter, it says the elder. What that means is it was written by someone who was called or known as the elder. Here's the thing. Back in the day, it was understood that the elder was indeed the Apostle John. Now, as thousands of years have passed, there are those who put forth other names as the possible author of this letter, but none of them really hold any water. They don't give us any good reason whatsoever to think that this was not written by the Apostle John. So that's how we're going to roll with this. It is a letter written by the elder, the Apostle John himself, and he's writing to a man named Gaius. It's interesting, the letter right before this, 2 John, was written to a very specific group of people, the chosen lady and her children. And we talked about how that could have meant one of two different things. It could have meant a literal woman that John knew who had a bunch of kids. It could have also meant a local congregation represented by the chosen lady. And of course, the children would have been the members of that congregation. Well, tonight, we're seeing that John is writing to an individual. And we actually have his name. We don't even have to wonder who he is. I mean, I guess we don't really know who he is. We've never met him. But we know his name, and his name is Gaius. And you get the sense that this was a friend of the Apostle John's, possibly a spiritual son or a son in the faith. Did I put verse 4 in there, Tim, to take a look at again? Yes, I did. Look at that. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. In this context, it could be that the idea of children here, of which Gaius is one, could literally mean disciples, children in the faith. So, however you want to look at it, Gaius is someone who John knew personally and really cared about. As a matter of fact, you can say that he was pretty excited about what Gaius was doing. We'll talk about that more in a second. That's all in the greeting. And then what we see here is really, in verse 2, it's a prayer of blessing. Take a look at verse 2 again. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, there's some older versions, I think, that says, I pray that you would prosper even as your soul prospers, right? It has the same meaning, just written in a different way. What it is it's a typical blessing that you would speak over somebody in those days. And what he's praying is that you be in good health. Things are going well with you in all of your life. As a matter of fact, that phrase literally means to have a good journey. As you're walking through life, may it be a good journey. That's the blessing that he's praying over his friend Gaius. And so, in the first couple of verses, we see it's written by the Apostle John to a gentleman named Gaius, and he prays a simple blessing, yet a powerful blessing, over his friend. John then changes gears in verse 3, and we begin to get a picture of what kind of man Gaius was. Take a look at verses 3 and 4. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What's happening here? Well, John had received a very encouraging report about Gaius from a group of people that John calls brothers. Of course, that's pretty easy to understand. He's talking about fellow brothers in the Lord, fellow disciples who met Gaius personally. And they are testifying that Gaius was a faithful man, specifically being faithful to the truth. Many times, at least for me, when I think about truth, I think about speaking truth. And the Bible teaches that. We are to speak truth or teach truth in love. The gospel of Jesus is true. It is trustworthy, right? And so when I think about truth, I think about speaking it. We don't want to lie to each other. We don't want to bear false witness. All of that kind of comes to mind. And I'm sure Gaius did speak the truth. But it's more than just that. It really speaks to his sincerity and integrity of character. And so these brothers in Christ who never met Gaius before, at least that's the sense that you get, sense that I get, met him and they recognized that Gaius was faithful to the truth, not just in word, but in life. That's a huge statement to make about somebody. He's walking in the truth. We see this because of the way he lives. And they really hammer home this fact by saying that he was walking in the truth. Gaius was a man who was faithful to and walked in the truth. Of course, like Pontius Pilate once asked, what is truth? Right? It's a great question. Well, here, of course, we're speaking of God's word. And I'll give a little plug for Sunday morning. We're jumping back into Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, and we're going to talk about the word of God, which is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's going to be a good time in the book of Hebrews. So you want to make sure that you're here. See that? There's my shameful, shameless plug, I guess. So he's walking in the truth. He's faithful to the truth. He's walking in and faithful to God's word. And this brought the apostle John one of his greatest joys. Take a look at verse 4 again. We saw it a couple of times already, but it's one of them verses that we probably should think of a lot. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I got 5 kids. And for me, the greatest joy that I will have is to see them continue to walk in the truth. It's greater than prestige. It's greater than power. It's greater than material things or the perfect job. It is our heart's desire. I mean, we would trade it all so that our kids would walk in the truth. And I see that in myself, too, when it comes to churches. Like, I think back to when I was a youth pastor, and I hear that some of the ones that I was pastoring as young people are still walking in the truth today. A matter of fact, I just had a conversation, a pretty long conversation, with one of the girls in our youth ministry who's got to be 36 years old, and that's just wrong. That's wrong. It was my mentor's daughter. We had this big political conversation a few weeks back. It was a lot of fun, but it's great to hear that she's walking in the truth. And many others still are. That brings joy to my heart. And it's the same for Emmanuel Assembly of God. A little different, maybe, but I think it proves the point. This past Sunday morning, as we were leading worship, I'm looking out, and everybody's got hands raised, and they're giving praise to Jesus, and they're ascribing the worth to Christ that he is due. And to me, that's an outpouring of walking in truth. That warms my heart. I get excited about that. And then the Lord speaks to us directly through a word of encouragement. That's good stuff. And so when I see congregations that I've pastored in the past that I'm pastoring now, walking in the truth and really hungering after Jesus, it brings a great joy. I think I know a little bit of what the Apostle John would have felt when he was writing to his friend Gaius. So he's walking in the truth. He's a faithful man, this Gaius. The question is, how did these fellow brothers in Christ know that he was indeed walking in the truth? Well, because Gaius was faithful in ministering to these brothers who met him when they came to town. Take a look at verses 5 through 8. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we make work together for the truth. So this group of disciples, these brothers and sisters in Christ, meet Gaius, and they found that he was faithful in ministering to them. So they saw his faithfulness and his love by his actions. By the way, actions really do speak louder than words, don't they? Words ring kind of hollow when you say something, but the action then sort of goes against what you're saying. Actions really do speak louder than words. It's really powerful when the words and the actions work together. And that's what Gaius was doing. He wasn't just speaking stuff. He was living it out. He was faithful in ministering to them. How was he ministering to them? Well, we don't really know. It doesn't say specifically. But whatever it was, they knew, again, through his actions, that he loved them. So he served them, he loved them, even though they were strangers, it says. I think we're starting to see the character of Gaius. Well, either way, this is how they knew that he was faithful in walking in the truth. Jesus says in the Bible to love one another, meaning we are to love the body of Christ. And that's exactly what Gaius was doing, even though he never met him before. And so these people who met Gaius see John, and they bring this glowing report to him. Gaius is the real deal. Now, it seems that however they got the report to John, maybe they sent a messenger, whatever, they themselves were still with Gaius at this point. And so John reminds Gaius to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Take a look at verse 6. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. So it really does seem like they didn't go back to John specifically. Now that I read it, it seems more that somehow they sent a message to John, but they were still with Gaius. And so John says, send them on their way in a manner worthy of the Lord. It's an important verse, especially when it comes to giving to missions and missionaries. And the reason is this. They're brothers in Christ, and Jesus commands us to love our brothers, right? John 15 says, love one another. But also, it's important because these brothers were what we would call today missionaries. Take a look at verses 7 and 8. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. There's a key phrase, and that is they went out for the name of Jesus. Other versions, I believe, translate that as for his name's sake. So they're going out in the name of Jesus. What they're doing is they've gone out from place to place preaching the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. They went out, as one brother in Christ puts it, as missionaries on behalf of the name of Jesus Christ. As such, these missionaries would receive no help from the pagans, which makes sense to me. Why would a non-believer help somebody spread the gospel? They wouldn't do it, right? They would be hostile to that. And so they would receive no help at all from the pagan world. They needed the body of Christ to help them accomplish God's will. And so Gaius, a son of the living God, a member of God's family, was there to do it. He ministered to them faithfully and lovingly when they were with him. And now John encourages Gaius to send them out in the same way. Don't really know what that means exactly. It could mean provide for them, give them the money that they need, give them the supplies that they need. Same kind of heart behind that, whether it's money, supplies, food, whatever. I tell you what, when you look at Gaius, he really was a man of God. He was a man of God in such a way that I would be very happy if I, Wendy, my kids, all of us would live our lives like him, especially in these areas. That's Gaius, the man of God, who's helping, ministering to, giving to the missionaries. Then there's a really blatant contrast here. It's a huge contrast. There's a second guy that we run into, and his name is Diotrephes. Take a look at verse 9 again. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. You see the contrast? Here's Gaius, who is giving to missionaries, ministering to them, supporting them. Now here's this dude, Diotrephes, and it says of him here in verse 9, he loved to be first. The Amplified Version also adds to that, he liked to take the lead. Now listen, leadership is not a bad thing. We need leaders. We need good leaders, godly leaders. But this isn't speaking about a leadership position filled by a guy named Diotrephes who's humbly leading. No, this guy was all about himself. It was all about Diotrephes. You see, it was Diotrephes' way or the highway. Can you say pride? Of course you can. Pride is a killer, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 5 says that God gives grace. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4 says the same thing. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Pride comes before destruction. A haughty spirit, says the proverb, comes before a fall. Pride is what got the devil, at that time Lucifer, kicked out of heaven. Pride says it's all about me. It's all about self. For me, it is one of the, if not the, root cause for all sin. I am proud. I am going to do what I want. It doesn't matter if it hurts you. If it hurts you, it doesn't matter if God approves of it. It's all about me. This is Diotrephes. Notice that John says here in verse 9, he would have nothing to do with us. Now think about that for a second. Not only is John talking about this group of missionaries who's coming through, he's talking about himself. John is an apostle. John is the one that Jesus himself, like Jesus, the real Jesus, loved. He rubbed shoulders with Jesus. He was there for the Last Supper. He was there for the Transfiguration when he saw Jesus transfigured and Moses and Elijah coming out of heaven, some kind of supernatural thing. John was there at the cross. The only one of the 12 apostles who was there. And he's there with his mother, with Jesus' mother Mary. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he looks down and he sees John. And he says to John and his mother, he says, this is now your mother. And mom, this is now your son. In other words, John was going to take care of her in one way or another after Jesus died and went back into heaven. John was there, and Diotrephes had the guts, born from pride and selfish, sinful nature, to not welcome John. That's crazy, right? I mean, if John walks in here, I've said this before, probably a couple weeks ago when we started 2 John, I'm giving him the microphone. I'm done. And if I were you, if John walks through here, first of all, that'd be pretty crazy, right? That would be like the Transfiguration. If all of a sudden the Apostle John came and started standing here, I might just pass out. You know, but if he did, I'd cancel the rest of your night. You ain't sleeping tonight. You're going to sit at the feet of the Apostle John, right? I mean, you would want to just suck up everything he's got, not Diotrephes. He actually would not welcome John. He wouldn't welcome missionaries. He didn't welcome anybody that he didn't want to welcome. As a matter of fact, Diotrephes was gossiping maliciously about John and others. He didn't welcome the missionaries at all. He must have had some kind of position of power and influence. And he actually kicked those out of the church who did support the missionaries. Could you imagine that? We support some 30-plus missionaries or so here in Emmanuel Assembly of God. All over the United States, all over the world. Some are local missions too, different things that we give to, different ministries that we give to. Could you imagine if I came in here and I said, you know what, we're not doing missions anymore, and if you do support our missionaries, you're gone. First of all, this is the Assemblies of God, so I'd be gone first. Because you'd all have a vote, and you're like, dude, you're done. And rightly so, right? Diotrephes, that's what he was doing, and somehow he had this position of authority, he had this position of power, and he was getting away with it, literally kicking people out of the church. Take a look at verse 10. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing. I still love this translation, the NIV 2011. I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. That's one of my favorite words. I've come to the conclusion that most things about life is just nonsense anymore, right? And so Diotrephes is spreading malicious nonsense about John and the missionaries. He's not satisfied with that. He even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Yeah, man, John's not happy. See, Paul wasn't the only one who had to deal with nonsense. They all did, one way or the other. James, John's brother, he was put to death pretty early on in the book of Acts. He didn't last very long, you know? They had to put up with so much nonsense. And here's John, and he may be an old dude now. Like, he could be in his 60s, 70s, 80s, and he's still dealing with this stuff. Man, but he wasn't going to put up with it. The next time I'm there, he says, I'm going to deal with it. Some heads are going to roll. If I was writing the Bible, that's what I would have said. John was a little bit more diplomatic. What did he say? Put verse 10 up again, please. He says it like this. He says, when I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing. If I was to write that verse, I said, man, Diotrephes, his head's going to roll. And then you'd be like, why is that in the Bible? This is Diotrephes. Once again, it reminds me of pride. My way or the highway. He didn't care for God's word. He didn't care about God's leaders, whether you're talking about one of the apostles or the missionaries. He's really the polar opposite of Gaius, isn't he? I mean, what a contrast. And to me, I think you could use these two men, Gaius and Diotrephes, as illustrations of Jesus and the devil. When you think about it, Gaius represents Jesus, faithful, loving. Diotrephes, he's going to do it his own way. That's the devil. That's Satan. So what's interesting is John then goes on and says to Gaius, don't live like him. Take a look at verses 11 and 12. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. So he brings up another name here, Demetrius, who is also well-liked. He is a faithful man himself. The point that John is making here is don't keep living the way you're living, Gaius. Don't live like Diotrephes. Demetrius knows what's going on too, but forget about Diotrephes. He's not of God. As a matter of fact, John just said he's never seen God. Which means, in my opinion, John is saying that although Diotrephes is a part of the church and has a position of power, he's not saved. Right? And he's proving it by his actions. And this is different than wrestling with sin. This is different than, oh, I messed up again, Father, forgive me. This is someone who is diametrically opposed to the gospel, to God, and to God's people. He may not even be saved. So Gaius, imitate what is good. Take a look at Demetrius. He's doing the same thing. So that's a huge contrast. Gaius, Diotrephes. Gaius, faithful and loving. Like Jesus, Diotrephes racked with pride, much like the devil. So how does this apply to us, specifically when it comes to missions? Well, we want to support our missionaries. They are living much like the missionaries here in 3 John. They are going to the furthest parts of the world, and they are taking the gospel. They're all different. They have different giftings. They have different talents. They have different callings. They are serving in different ways. Some are going directly to unreached people groups, meaning they're going to places where they have never heard the name of Jesus. Isn't that nuts? They've never heard the name of Jesus. And you say, how is that possible? It's a big world. Was it in our life group last night we were talking about this, that there are people in America right now who've never heard the name of Jesus? Listen, the idea that America is still a Christian nation doesn't hold water. We need a revival, right? There are people growing up in the United States, they don't know Christ. They may never even heard the name of Jesus. Or if they did, it's only been a curse word. And we got our missionaries who are going to these places. Allentown is a place like that. Maybe they've heard the name. Maybe most of the people here have heard the name of Jesus. Maybe even many have grown up in the church or experienced church. But boy, the vast majority of people in Allentown, they don't know Christ. Right? So the missionaries that we support are doing the same thing that the missionaries here in 3 John are doing. These are real, living, breathing brothers and sisters in Christ. Three of them we had in November for our missions convention. I still get excited about it because we gave, what, close to $4,500, I think, if not more than that, to three missionaries. It brought tears to one of their eyes when I gave him the check. And he was just blown away that a church like this, our size even, would bless him like that. These are real people. They're not going to get help from the pagans. If they're ministering in Hindu nations, the Hindus aren't going to help them. If they're ministering in Muslim nations, you know the Muslims aren't going to help them. The atheists, they don't want anything to do with them. Who's going to support them? Who's going to give? Us. Right? And the thing is, when we give to missions, we're really giving to the Lord. We're giving to his cause, and we're giving to something that lasts. I like cars. You all know this, right? I'm tinkering with my car more and more and more and putting things on and all this fun stuff. I hope to have that for a long time, but I'm not taking it with me. I like to joke that when I come back riding on my white horse, I'm actually going to be riding on 300 or 400 horses because I'm going to be riding on a Camaro when Jesus comes back. You know I'm kidding, right? That's not true. Okay. You can't take it with you. It's not something that lasts. What does last, though, is the work in the kingdom of God. And our missionaries are on the front lines of bringing the kingdom of God to people who've never heard it before. They're on the front lines of raising up other workers, other pastors, other evangelists who are going into their own cities, their own nations, and they're spreading the word. This is exciting stuff. They need our help. The only thing they're going to get from the world is persecution. May the Lord continue to use us to show hospitality, send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. I don't get the sense that this church or anyone in it would like to be like Diotrephes. Anybody in here read about Diotrephes and say, yeah, I want to be like him? You probably wouldn't raise your hand because people would wonder, what's your problem? Right? No, I don't get the sense we want to be like Diotrephes and we would actively fight against what the Lord is doing and against our missionaries. I don't get that sense at all. There are some churches like that. Matter of fact, I just had a conversation with somebody in a denomination that is wrestling with so many different issues. Homosexual things, goddess type of things. And this is a huge, huge denomination that has been used by God in the past to lead many to Jesus. And they are just wrestling with so many internal lies and false teachings. It's really sad is what it is. So there are churches like that. Thank God that we're not like that. But let's not be indifferent either. We may not be like Diotrephes, but sometimes maybe we become a little indifferent. Oh, I've been there, done that. Or somebody else will help now. Speaking specifically of our missionaries, right? Let's not become indifferent. Let's be like Gaius. Let's continue to support our missionaries monthly. And when we bring missionaries in, especially during our missions convention in the fall, let's give liberally. God's going to bless that. See, when we give, God blesses. It may not always be with more money for us. I think we got to be careful with that teaching. You know, there's a teaching out there that if you give money, God's going to bless you with more money. That's not necessarily true. It could be that he blesses you in a different way. Whatever it is, there's a principle here. As we give, God blesses. As we give, God moves. And you can't outgive God, can you? No. He's bigger than all of that. So let's be like Gaius. Let's continue to support our missionaries. Let's continue to pray for them. Intercede on their behalf. I would encourage you to do that in your personal time of prayer throughout the week as the Lord would drop it into your spirit. Lift it up to God. Lift up our missionaries. If you want a list of our missionaries, come to the office. Email me, see Rosa, we'll get you a list of our missionaries. Put it up in the kitchen, put it in your bedroom, wherever you pray, and and pray over those missionaries. I tell you what, I don't think they mess around. You know, when you bring a missionary in, they always say things like this. And it's almost across the board. They say, there's a couple of different ways you can support us. And they always start out by saying prayer. And then, of course, they say, you know, to give as well. But they're not messing around. They need our prayers just as much, probably, as they need our money. Either way, let's be like Gaius. Let's support our missionaries. And one last thought, just because it fits here, although that's not really the main focus of the message. Let's be open in all ways to what the Lord is doing. See, pride effectively cuts off what God wants to do in an individual's life, a family's life, and a congregation's life. Let's walk in humility. I just read today the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. I'm reading through Luke on my own and just my own devotions and stuff. And talks about the Pharisee comes in and he begins to pray. And, you know, he stands up in front of everybody and he's got that Pharisee's voice. He's real spiritual. And look how good I am. I'm so much better than this tax collector kind of thing, right? The tax collector, he stays in the back. And I think he, if I remember right, he's like kneeling. He doesn't even stand up. I'm not even sure he lifts his head. And he begins to cry out to God, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Forgive me. And Jesus says what? He says, the tax collector left that prayer meeting, if you will, more justified than the Pharisee. And then he goes on to say, he who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So may we continue to walk in humility. May we continue to love one another, love those that God brings into our path, and may we continue to support our missionaries. Sound good? Okay, good. Well, let's stand together. I love this shirt. I wanted to bring a little piece of Hawaii with me today. Actually, the reason I wore this, and you're going to laugh, is because I have no jeans left. They all got holes in them. So I got slacks. Thankfully, my in-laws love me, and they bought me 3 pairs of slacks for Christmas because I'd have no pants right now. I'd be wearing shorts or something. So I've got my pants, and I had no short-sleeve shirts that I washed. They're probably all in the bottom of my closet getting ready to go into the washing machine. And I thought, man, it's going to be in like the 60s today. I'm not wearing a long-sleeve shirt. I get hot, and I can't stand that feeling. So this was the shirt I had. And I thought, I'm going to wear this. And I looked in the mirror, and I said, shoot, Tom Selleck? You eat your heart out, buddy, right? I tell you what, this is like a siren right here. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you for a man like Gaius, who's recorded in really just a few verses of the Bible. And yet we see in him a life being lived that you're calling us to live. And what's nice about it is that we get to see what faithfulness looks like in action. And I know that you get snippets of it with different people, different stories in the Bible. In this one, we see faithfulness and love being played out in giving to missionaries, those who are raised up by you to bring the word of God to this world. Lord, help us to be humble. Forgive us and deliver us from any pride. And I know that each one of us still deals with it one way or the other, that wrestling match between the spirit and the flesh. Lord, forgive us for where we have fallen short. And we ask that you would help us to put our sinful nature, or as Paul says in Colossians, the members of our body to death. We want them dead, and we want to be more and more alive in Christ. And Lord, help us then in that humility to give, to support, to love. And we pray for our missionaries right now. Lord, wherever they are, some are itinerating, most of them are out on the field even as we speak. We pray that you'd protect them from the evil one. Protect them, Father. We pray for safety, that their souls would prosper as they are taking this journey through life, and that all would be well with them. We pray for their marriages, for their children, that you would draw them close to yourself. We pray that you would reinvigorate them and re-energize them in the passion they have for the gospel, and that you would give them a good return for their work. Many would come into the kingdom and your name would be glorified. Lord, lead them not into temptation as well. So many temptations can come at us as believers, including our missionaries. Lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. And so, Father, we thank you for it, and we give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week.